To the river, to Thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, we are no longer, Lord, bound to fear. Lord, we are set free. Lord, we are your sons and daughters, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing Hosanna one more time. Yeah. Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, that has cleansed, oh God, our sin once for all, oh God. Lord Jesus, Father God, we thank you for the perfect sacrifice, oh God. What the blood of bulls and goats could not do, what the law could not do, oh God. Lord, your blood, your sacrifice did for us, oh God. Hallelujah, Father, that through the blood, Lord God, Lord, we can, Lord, break through the veil into the very heavenly place, into the very presence of God. Lord, where fear cannot reach us, where enemy cannot reach us, where devils, oh God, that Satan's, oh God, plan cannot reach us, Father God. Lord, we can go right into your bosom. And Father God, be embraced, oh God, by that perfect love, oh God, Father, we do not look around our circumstances to feel your love, O God. In the cross, you have demonstrated your perfect love for us, O God, in that you died for us while we were still sinners, O God. We were still weak, O God. And while we were your enemies, Father God, you demonstrate your perfect love for us in that you sent your Son and Jesus you bled and died, O God, and finished the work of redemption for us once for all. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you for the blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just declare the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Let's say it. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The redemption has been made perfect. Hallelujah. Through one perfect sacrifice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can boldly approach the throne of God. Hallelujah. The enemy cannot reach us. Arrows cannot reach us, oh God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You have drawn, hallelujah, the line of demarcation through your blood, oh God. Lord, Psalm 91 is our portion. Lord, the blood has drawn the line. Lord, we can break through, oh God, and find, oh God, the place of safety. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your love. Let's just declare, celebrate God's love for us. Father, we thank you for your love. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How much does God love us? Hallelujah. He loves us to the point that he sent his Son to die on the cross. That's how much he loves us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's greet one another. Let's greet one another and say, God loves you more than you realize. Let's tell them how much God loves us. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Trent. God loves you more than you know. More than you realize. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. More than you realize, son. And he did so well. The Lord with you. Amen. Victory all the way.
Welcome back.
God loves you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Welcome back.
To see Gil and Ruth, welcome back home also. I saw you in Penang having noodles in Penang. Pastor Angie sent me the photo. Hallelujah. We're going to actually get some stuff out of the way. Well, we're going to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. I'm going to pray for the offering. Let's get our brother Brian to pray. Can you pray for the offering, Brian? Love your head. Kipa.
Kipa. Kipa.
Yamuka.
Yamuka.
Yiddish, which means
Yahweh God, uh-huh. Mulka, the king, God my king.
Oh.
Mulka.
I had no idea that was... Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, Mulka, same thing.
Okay.
Thank you, God, for your mysteries hidden in the Hebrew language.
Amen.
It's just so wonderful.
Wonderful.
And the more we learn about your people and Israel, the more we're blessed, Father God. Mm-hmm. And we thank you. We as a church family support Israel 100%,
hallelujah.
Father God.
Amen.
And because
thank
of
you
that,
Lord.
You bless us. As you said in Genesis 12:3, and he who blesses you, I will bless, and he who curses you, I will curse. So, Father God, we thank you for the blessing. We thank you for the opportunity to be your church family here on earth, Father, to come together each week to worship you. And Father, we bring back to you some of the many blessings that you give to us. So today we joyfully come before you to contribute your church body here, Father. We ask you to bless it, to multiply it, that your word would travel throughout the world. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you. You hear about this morning? I heard the news that in U.S. Pittsburgh, gunmen walked into a synagogue and began to open fire. I think 11 people died and many injured. So this is the world we are living and coming into. And there was a lot of rockets that was firing from yesterday from Gaza into Israel, and then Israel retaliated. And I think I'm reading in the news that hospital in Gaza has been destroyed. I'm sure that would be very, very widely published. We just really need to, I guess, understand the time we are living in more and more. Our prayers for Israel is needed. And Jews around the world is coming under the, you know, under pressure. Just as the Word of God says, we don't want this to happen, but it's happening because God says so. And God wants church to stand with them. God wants to bring revival in Muslim nations. When we study, prophetic books in the Old Testament, it's very, very clear that God will punish all the false gods of the earth with it. You know, the false belief system in the false gods. And the war in the name of God against God's people will be met with a very strong response from heaven in a physical way. And the reason is that God wants to dethrone these false demon gods and bring revival to the land of Islamic nations, which I believe will no longer be called, before Christ returns, Islamic anymore. Yeah. So let's just have a short prayer for Israel, for those. I mean, it's not, the attack has happened in U.S. Some years ago I had a dream about, attack against Israel, against Jews in such a way that meeting in synagogue will be fierce. And let's just pray that God will, lift the eyes of Jews who do not know the Lord yet, to look to the Lord. Amen. So, Father, we come before you. Oh, Father, as persecution and hatred against your people, Israel particularly, Lord, and Christians are not exempt. Jesus, you said that we will be hated by all nations on account of your name. Lord, as the pressure against Jews rise around the world, Father, we pray that you will use this occasion to cause desperation in Jews, oh God, to look to you to find the safety of Psalm 91 in the bosom of Yahweh. Also, even as, Lord God, another round of pressure is mounting in the land of Israel, Lord, just as Israel has celebrated 7 years of return. And Father, we pray so that the shield of the Lord, Lord, will be over the land of Israel. And Lord, you will fulfill your word, Lord God, in that, Lord, you will exalt your people and you will cause this conflict, Lord God, to turn. Cause the hearts of Israel, Jews, to turn to you and cause the hearts of those who come against your people in the name of false God, demon God, O God, to fall to the ground, O God, that their hearts, O God, their belief system will be shattered, their eyes will be opened to see the one true living God. Lord, that your salvation will spread through and through, O God, both to the Jews and to the Gentiles, O God. Father, we pray, Lord, that you will comfort those lives of, Lord, the family who have lost their loved ones, Lord God. And Father God, hallelujah. Let the Jews around the world find comfort and safety in their own God, Lord God. Yahweh, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 How many seen a picture of, you know, that there was an earthquake in tsunami. Yes, Sulawesi, Indonesia. And there was a huge hotel, many, many stories hotel. And then right next to it was a little tiny church. And the whole hotel collapsed and the church stood still. And that was in the news. I mean, if you haven't seen it, I have got a photo. That was quite amazing. This is Psalm 91. How can a huge thing collapse all over and not touch the one? It's just a few meters away. Not even the fence is broken. Absolutely amazing. So that was shown on news in Indonesia. And also the pilot who was, Christian pilot actually kept what, over 200 something passengers. And it was on TV as well. So it was very interesting time that we visited Indonesia. Well, anyway, the short story is that the Lord spoke to him, leave early. So he, in a sense, you know, broke a little rule, requested that he will leave early, and 3 minutes early. And as the aeroplane was going off, the land began to shake. The aeroplane felt a slight tremor. If the aeroplane left 1 minute later, it wouldn't have made a runway. It was like a carpet. Runway was like a carpet. Took off, he looked back, he saw the huge hole in the sea. And then, you know, obviously, disaster struck. But he was testifying the voice of the Holy Spirit, spoke to him to leave early. And not only he was saved, but the lives of those who were entrusted to his authority were also saved. This is the time, hallelujah, we're living in. Amen. The Holy Spirit is in us. Oh! Chris, how are you? Okay. Chris, we'll have to catch up. Amen. All right. GI Camp. I'm going to get Josh and Colette to quickly come up and tell us what's happening in GI Camp next year.
Good morning. Good morning. How are we all? Okay, so I have just a short little. How much time? I have a little quiz. So he already spoiled it, but camp is coming up. But I will give 10 points and a hug to someone who tells me when camp is next year. I need dates. What was that? 29th to 31st. You get a hug. Yes, you do. You can come see me after the service. I'll give you one. All right, so I'm just rolling with this. There's no plan. There's also no sermon today. No. So 29th to the 31st of March next year is GI Church Camp, but we're rebranding it this year and we're calling it what? Wow, that's cheating. None of you get hugged for that. Thank you for that. It's a bit small, but GI Church Camp Family Getaway, and there's an emphasis this year on family. And I just wanted to kind of share a little bit, just even you know, things that the Lord's been doing in my own heart. I got married last year in the beginning. Whew. I'm also getting older too, so yeah, it's already almost 2 years ago. And I should say, Colette is losing her voice, so that's why I'm the mouthpiece, and that's why you're stuck with me this morning. But we got married almost 2 years ago in January. And one of the things that the Lord was starting to really show me in terms of ministry and family was how important family is. And I'm sure this is something that we can all reflect on in our own lives. You know, we can go and do lots of stuff. We can, you know, go here, do like great worship. But if our family is suffering or struggling, then that's not a very good reflection of our ministry either. And the Lord was really pinpointing that in my own heart. And it's not because I did anything wrong, but it's more that I just started, you know, a family in some way. And God was highlighting that when you get married, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, right? 2 years. Who is this guy? What do I know? The Lord is speaking. But that when you get married, you know, your first point of call and first point of ministry is always your family. And how you nurture, how you love your family reflects in your ministry outside of your family. And I just wanted to kind of bring that into alignment of just our family here. You know, we do a lot of things. We have a lot of meetings on all the time, but sometimes we don't have the greatest capacity to fit in extra time for family. And this getaway is always, I know it's just rebranded, it's church camp essentially, but this getaway is super important for family because it's time that we have together over you know, 2-3 days to really just love on each other, to get to know each other, to be vulnerable with each other, and to create a culture, you know, that we want to see not just, you know, at a camp, but actually what we want to see here on Sundays and throughout the week in the meetings that we have. So I just really want to encourage you to just really, you know, if you need to pray about it, but I want you to really try and free up that weekend as much as you can. The whole weekend, try to come for it if you can. If you can't afford it, come talk to us. I know we haven't told you about costings yet, but we just really want everyone to be on board with this because you know, we really want to invest in our family. We really want to nurture it. We really want to grow together and love one another better. So this is something where we're heading towards. It's a little while away still, but what we need from you guys is some form of commitment. Now, we haven't got any registration forms. We're not telling you all the details. All you know is the date, what it is, and why we're doing it. Is that good enough? Yes. All right. Now, I'm going to finish this again. but today, if you feel that you can commit with just a verbal and a written yes, it's no money involved, just say, I want to come, and I'm committing to these days. After service, if you want to come and see Colette, she'll come and just write down a few details. It's just a commitment. You don't have to pay anything. And have I left anything about? Oh, yeah, and also the whole hotel room thing. We're still at Colleroy Center. So if you are wanting to get one of those hotel rooms, which I think there's pretty much enough for most of us, but if you want it, you got to get in fast because, you know, first come, first serve. Okay, so at the end of the service, who do you go see? Yeah, and commit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Evangelism team will meet this Saturday. Yeah, and tell us.
Okay. Since December last year, we have started to go to evangelize to people in acting area, where our prayer house is, and we go out every first and third Saturday, and we meet at 9 a.m.
Running away from me.
Okay. Now, we meet at 9 a.m. at prayer house, have a time of prayer and worship first to bring the people to God before we talk to them about God. So, we just go out in prayer. And if you don't have experience of going on outreach, you will be paired with somebody who has some experience. But it's very special this coming Saturday on the 3rd of November is where remember he had...
This is a typewriter.
He had Tony McLennan from Australia Love for Jesus. And he had started, God inspired him to do an app in his mobile phone. So if you don't know what to say, you say, oh, I don't know how to do outreach, it's okay. You just come and learn from him. He and his coordinator, David Bishop, both of them will be coming to help us. So they will pair with us. And as they do it, you watch how they do. And you don't have to think of what to say. Everything is in the app. So you just have to move from one screen to another. Just ask questions. The questions are there. And it's so easy. So easy. And David Bishop already came one Saturday to come to us. He's coming again. He's very inspired that he wants to help us to win the whole of Epsilon. So we also want to learn not only to do an outreach, but once you have learned it, you can use it on anybody. Your family members who are not saved, and your colleagues, your neighbors, you know. And just a testimony, my friend, she learned it, she went, she used it on her son. Her son got saved. Her brother-in-law got saved. So, you know, you can send the loved ones in your family using the app. So you come and learn it. And then you have confidence reaching out and winning many souls into the kingdom. Those who are wise, you win people into the kingdom.
Thank you, huh? 9 o'clock.
Hope to see you
all. This Saturday, 9 to 12 in GI Hall. Okay, and next week, Pastor Runa and Philip Mix. Oh, Natasha. Okay. We got quite a few. Let's, give her a hand, Natasha and the baby to be born soon.
So Pastor Runa and Philip Mix, they serve with Brother Sadu in Jerusalem, and they serve the Lord in prayer and intercession. So hopefully or prayerfully it will rub off on the children, which is something we want to see, like start them young, and it's really good. So the plan is instead of the children coming here at 10, they'll go to the classroom, the Sunday school, so the parents will drop them off there 10 to 12. They will minister to them, and at 12 to 2, we'll have lunch, and we'll invite all the teachers and helpers, anyone who's interested to serve in this ministry, to come and learn from them, which is very exciting. So, really looking forward to it, and hope everyone who's interested can join us.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Natasha. Give her a hand again. It'd be great to see the little kids seeing visions and dreams, eh? Caught up to heaven and all this stuff. 25th of November, we'll tell you a bit more about that. Pastor Dong Campoy from Philippines will come and minister. How many heard Dong Campoy? Very few. No one here. Okay, never mind. That's fine. We'll tell you more about that. All right. Without further ado, I'm going to ask, where is Molly? Molly to come and share. Where is Molly? Ah, Molly. Molly is like a real Anna in the Bible. We had a wonderful time. And you know, Anna, the prophetess, and Mary of Bethany, from Sydney, Janie. We had a wonderful time in mission. So thank you for your prayer. And we hear from them.
Thank you, Pastor. Selamat pagi. That's good morning that we have been saying to each other in Indonesia. 19 days of greeting each other in Indonesia, so I thought I might as well use it for the last time here. Before I start on anything, I want to thank Pastor Mia, the church, all the prayer groups, prayer leaders, morning, night, watch, etc., for praying and upholding us in their prayers. Because without all your prayers, thank you very much. Without your prayers, I don't think we could have had it so easy in Indonesia. So, and because your prayers consistently, you interceded for us, we in Indonesia also felt that we should respond likewise. So Jenny, me and Pastor Paul, every morning without fail, we'll gather in one of our rooms and we'll worship the Lord, we'll pray, and we'll invite the Holy Spirit to come into our presence, into the meeting that we are going to, and we ask the Holy Spirit, have your way, have your way. Open the hearts of the people so that whatever word that is given to them will fall on a rich, fertile soil that will grow roots deep and produce a good harvest. Or else pastor's time will be all wasted there. So, and the Lord is good. And you can see a lot of things happening. Small revival. And the Indonesian people were blessed. And pastor was happy. We were happy too. Amen. Many times when we are called to go for mission, we always worry ourselves to die. Oh, where am I going to pray for those people there? How am I going to pray for them? What Bible verses am I going to quote to them? But God says, just shut up and go. Pack your bags and go. I will put the words in your mouth. You just open your mouth and I will put the words in your mouth. Not your words, but my words, okay? So, and God is faithful. God is really faithful. And I just went. And we always come back when we are obedient to the word of the Lord. We always come back wonderfully blessed. Many times we think that when we go for mission, we're going to bless the people there. But actually we come back more blessed than ever. And although I didn't do much, I just tag along and pray a little bit. And because we are obedient, we go there, we meet new people, we go through new experiences, we are in new places, we eat all new food to us, and how we respond to the people there, how we react to them, is a test from God, and that's already a blessing. To me, it's already a blessing. And I believe, many times what we do there, we might fail sometimes, but I suppose God is always fine-tuning us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So all in all, it's a great experience not to be missed. So in future, if anyone is called by God to go for mission, quickly pack your bags and go. Don't be like me, hesitating and praying and asking around, but finally I went. Amen. I saw many things. I experienced many things. But I only talk about three things that surfaced. Number one, in the life of Pastor Abednego in solo. 1 week before our team left Sydney to go to solo, Pastor Abednego had a nasty fall from the ceiling down to the ground floor, and his house was a double-story house. He fractured a rib, was in agony, was in great pain, and he was hospitalized, and the photo that was sent to Pastor Mia to us to pray and intercede for him was terrible, with tubes all coming out from his face and body. And he was the key man in Solo who will connect Pastor to all the various teams and churches in Solo. So what would happen to him? Your schedule to go for operation and how much time would he have, will he need to recover? So we prayed very hard before we left. And when we left, that very night, we touched down in Solo, Jamie and I, Pastor and Anthony met us at the airport, took us straight to Pastor Abed's house to pray for him. But he was already walking around. He was up and about. Anyway, we prayed for him, and few days later, I think about 2-3 days later, he testified in his church how the Lord spoke to him while he was in agony, and the surgeons decided to operate on him. But the Lord said to him, the Lord will give him a new rib. He will not have to go for the surgery. So praise the Lord. And he could even joke to his congregation. You know, I felt like I was like Adam. The Lord gave me took out my rib, my broken rib, and gave me a new rib, but not a new wife like Adam. They are so cute. So I really love his character. He's a man of faith and a man of tenacity. He's a very strong character, very loving, and he brought us around and told us lots of stories, and we enjoyed all his Bible days stories he will relate to us. Okay, that's for Pastor Abed. Number two, there was this lady we met, Pastor's interpreter. Fantastic lady. Very much in the Lord. And she reminds me of Acts 16 Lydia, the lady who dealt in purple cloth. She's a businesswoman. This lady Lydia in the Bible, she's a businesswoman and she deals with purple cloth. Purple cloth is it speaks of royalty. That means she does a business with a royal, which is big business, not small business, and she's rich. The Bible says that she's a worshipper of God, and she welcomed all the apostles into her home and showed them hospitality. Now, this lady, Stella, a fantastic interpreter for Pastor Paul, she really flowed in tempo. Never out. Now she's a businesswoman. She runs a bakery. We visited her bakery. There's two other small restaurants. Her mom started a Christian school, a small primary Christian school in a village nearby her place, a very Muslim area. So they started a Christian school there. And they are running a foundation where they take in the mentally retarded, the destitute, some children that are left on the streets and all that. So we went to the foundation to see. And what else did she do? Yeah, and I would like to talk about this school that ran. The beauty is about, we went to the school to pray for the teachers, and the beauty is that she put two of her kids, she has two children, and she put them in that school when she can well afford to put her children in the city private school. She's so rich. But she's the case where she walks the talk. She started her family started that primary school. So she said, my kids must study there. It's a big sacrifice because it's a very humble Christian school. If her kids were to study in a private city school, you know how much they will progress and they will advance and they will kick in. So I really saw her integrity. And I told myself, this lady is a wonderful lady. She loves the Lord. And she does so much for the community. She runs around. And she's a good example. Because she wants that nearby village to come to know the Lord. That's why she started that primary school. And putting her children there to study the primary years. Until it's not there's no secondary, so until secondary they will go to the city, whatever city. Okay, the third incident that that impressed me was the mountain church that we went to. It took us 3 hours to go up, across by car, and. The 30-year-old church, I think Pastor will talk more about that history part. When we arrived there, the pastor and his wife and his helpers and the villagers, they were so excited to see us. And they welcomed us so warmly. And you can see that although it's a small church, with humble beginnings, but they're so warm in their hearts. They've got very big hearts. And the message that Pastor Paul preached to them was a very powerful message. Yeah, one thing I benefited from this mission is the opportunity to listen to Pastor's messages all over again. Oh, so beautiful. So if anyone wants to listen all the messages again, go for mission under Pastor. Pastor spoke on the Mary of Bethany in the Bible, a powerful worshipper, and God is attracted to her pure worship. And Mary is a prophetic type of the Bride of Christ. I could see that the people were so touched by Pastor's message. They were really blessed by Pastor's message. And the pastor, his name is Pastor Bambang Irawan. I can still remember. He wept on stage. And his people, they wept. They were so touched. The presence of the Holy Spirit was so heavy on that day. And many people felt that they had to come back to God according to the message that Pastor gave to them. I could see that their hearts were reunited once again with love for Jesus. Unashamedly, they all wept. And when everything was over, the books were given to them. And when I came back, I realized that I've already written a small prayer for them in my journal because they touched my heart so much. But you know, I had this prayer in my journal for them. Okay, I'll say this prayer to you. Just listen to this prayer. Father, thank you for the people at this mountain church under Pastor Bambang Irawan. Thank you that your fire was once again reunited into the hearts of Pastor Bambang and his congregation to come back to you once more with more love and dedication and to get themselves ready as Jesus is coming for his bride. Father, we thank you that the message taught this afternoon by Pastor Paul was already sown deep into their hearts by the time we left. We pray that the books given to them will further enhance their walk with you, Jesus. You will speak into their hearts to further strengthen them into their journey with you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that they felt so blessed to have people, the pastor, Pastor Paul, all the way from Sydney to be with them, even though it's only for a full few hours, and look at the food and preparations they laid out to welcome us. Their hearts are so big, Father. May this big heart they have shown towards us grow even bigger for you, Lord. Amen. So, I really love this church, and I feel that the Lord says to me that never despise the day of beginning. It's very humble, very high up in the mountain. Nobody wants to go there. So that's why they were so blessed and they felt so touched that we from Australia ran up all the way to meet them. I think that's about all that I want to say. I'll leave. Actually, I have a lot. I saw a lot, especially the last meeting that we had with a group of 50 people. Actually, they are not a church. They are only a prayer group of two, and it started with two or three families. They prayed, blessings came to them, prayers were answered, and the group grew, and it exploded to 50 members. And on the last day, we were not scheduled to go and meet them. But somebody from another town connected pastor to the leader, and we went the last night. That was beautiful. But I leave that to Jamie or pastor to speak on. They will give you the heavyweight.
Thank you, Molly. She could share so much more.
Yeah. Okay, good morning, church. I don't know where to start. It was such a blessing to go with Auntie Molly and Pastor Paul. So touched by all that God did. All right, help me, Lord. Auntie Molly is so organized, you had on paper. I've only got notes on my phone. Okay. When the Lord pretty much kept impressing on my heart to go, and I thought, oh, Lord, I've got commitments, I've got no job, but after we had a missions meeting, and the Lord confirmed that the objective of the trip was to carry his heart. That was the sinker. So I thought, okay, Lord, I'll go with these two generals. So the objective of the trip was to go and to carry God's heart to his people, and to go and encourage them and just learn from them and serve. And I definitely feel that the Lord achieved his purpose on this trip. There was a resounding theme that we heard all throughout the trip in the three cities that we visited and the two regions, and that was to be wise with the time that we're given because of the Lord's imminent return, and to seek God's face, as Pastor Paul preached all throughout in Psalm 27, that intimacy is key. And throughout many of the meetings, there was an invitation to respond to the higher call, a fresh dedication to separate yourself out and come into oneness with the Lord, as Pastor Paul preached again all throughout. It wasn't funny, but the Lord changed all his messages right before he'd get up to speak, about 5 minutes before or while he was speaking. So that was good that we had a lot of time to pray together daily in the mornings or afternoons, that the Lord would have his way, as Auntie Molly said. And so making that dedication to the Lord, ascending to the hill, starting that journey with Him in intimacy, and the highway of holiness, making straight the path of our heart for the Lord to come in. Saw God responding to such hunger as we went to all the meetings. You know, the Lord had sent us to very hungry churches and awakened a lot of hearts. I felt very privileged to witness what the Lord was doing collectively in the earth, how He is drawing His body out and He's separating them unto Him. And people were responding to that. And, you know, Pastor Paul would preach his messages, and before the invitation was given, they would come down to the front just weeping and so hungry and so open to God and all that He did. So we give Him glory for that. In Tulungagung, we traveled 6.5 hours out on our second day. It was a very full schedule, just the entire trip. We probably only had one rest day. So Auntie Molly is such a trooper. By the time we got to the third city, we're starting to feel it physically, but thank you for your prayers. God really covered us to see the whole trip through. And in Tulungagung, on the second night, there were some orphans that came, and they came and they performed an item to sing for us there, and Pastor Paul preached a message, and that really ministered to them. These children, many years ago, they watched their parents be killed in a riot, so they were all distributed out into orphanages. And so after the message was given, there was just such an openness to God after, and there was a time of ministry after, and we could see that the children were quite hesitant in coming forward, so we had encouraged the interpreter to call them forward. And many came and were ministered to by the love of the Father, and set free, or were working through trauma and grief that had not been released. So that was really special. Actually, there's so much to share. I might leave it to Pastor Paul to touch on. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is Tulungagung here, and these are the orphans at the top right that sang a really precious song. People were just weeping. They were singing, I will wait until I receive my eternal crown in their dialect. Yeah, really, really precious. So again, just blown away. You could see that in this country that is dominantly Islamic, that there is such a strong commitment to the Lord by the people here. I might go straight to Bandung and leave you to the rest. We arrived in the third city in Bandung. By the second day, we had a cancellation of a meeting. And we had really started to feel it by then. We had been going nonstop for 16 days, having 1 to 2 meetings. And if it wasn't meetings, we were out for lunch meetings and dinner meetings. So anyway, after a time of spent having devotions with Pastor Paul, the Lord confirmed to shut away and spend time with him that day. And so we had a bit of a GI hop in Bandung. Pastor Paul had the guitar, and we spent 2.5 hours in worship and in prayer. And I would say that was probably one of my favorite moments of the trip, which was actually the worship and the prayer and the time together and just shutting away with the Lord. I found that the ministry was great. What we saw was great, and people responding to great, but nothing compares to being with Him and to knowing Him and having Him. So I'll just touch on two places that we visited in Bandung, which was the House of Joy Ministry, and it was Brother Ferry. We didn't learn anything about him until actually they had picked us up, and praise God, Auntie Molly interpreted for us a lot throughout the trip. so we'd learn where we're going, what we're doing, who we're meeting. And once we had gotten there, we connected with Brother Ferry, who started ministry out of his home, which I think he had been running for about 1.5 years. Very hungry for the Lord. Has a powerful story. He had done time in prison. He was one of 15 siblings, and him and his brother had served time in prison for every crime you could imagine. And it was in prison that the Lord arrested his heart. And so now he set up a ministry in his home. And he also provides food services and also gospel books and that to 32 prisons across Indonesia. We're just really inspired by his story and just the hunger of the people. And again, on this trip, I would say that Pastor Paul ministered under a very strong anointing as he yielded to the Lord with every message that was given pretty much before he would get up. And the people were so blessed by it. They were so open. So that was Brother Ricky's, Brother Ferry's ministry. I'll just touch briefly on so that's Brother Ferry there. Yeah, I was really impacted by his story. Several times throughout the trip, I had said loosely to Pastor Paul, oh, perhaps I'll share my testimony. And one day we were in the mountain church and he said, okay, you're up. and so I just went with it and just yielded to God. And the Lord had very much encouraged me before I went on the trip because I thought, Lord, I don't have anything to give but you. And he said just to enjoy the journey and that he'll do it all. So several times at the mountain church and also at this ministry, this place we visited here, I got to share how just the love of the Lord had healed and restored me and loved me back to life. And that was growing up in a broken home, affected by my parents' divorce, and migrating to Australia at a very young age. And from that, dealing with homesickness, but also falling into depression. And then in high school, falling into the wrong crowd, and falling into drinking, and towards the end of high school, experimenting with drugs. From then on, I would continue a very long cycle of just looking to fill a void in people, places, and things. I got married in my mid-20s, and not long after I'd come to the Lord, and I didn't have much support at the time. I'd grown up in church, but never known God through a relationship. And so when I'd come to the Lord, I didn't have that support, but I very clearly heard the Lord say to follow him, and so I did. And then 4 months into following the Lord, my husband had left, and I didn't know the Lord again, and he had said, trust me, and so I did. And so I just began that journey where I zealously started to serve the Lord and plant myself in church and just glean as much as I could from God. And it wasn't about until maybe 5 years into serving the Lord that the Lord had sat me down and said, I can see what you're doing for me, but I'm concerned about your heart. And it was there from sitting at the Lord's feet and just letting his love wash over me that he began to heal the disappointment, heal the abandonment and the rejection and the pain. And he began to show me who I was in him and my identity. And then that stopped the performance cycles of trying to perform to please him. And it just released me into more surrender. Just like the song that we sang this morning, that I'm no longer a slave to fear. And since then, you know, I've just watched the Lord do such a beautiful work in my life. And even just with my family who are yet to know the Lord. And just being a light and loving them as the Lord has loved me. And so many times I shared my story at the meetings to bring encouragement and to bring hope, and that, you know, walking with the Lord very intimately, the healing and the discipleship and the freedom, that was just a byproduct of knowing him intimately, and so to seek him above all else. Auntie Molly and I were really blessed to have Pastor Paul for under 3 weeks. So thank you, Pastor Mia. Thank you, church, for covering us in prayer. Again, we were so blessed to have devotions almost every day. And just the time in prayer and worship together. I learned a lot from Auntie Molly and Pastor Paul, who are so established in the Word. Auntie Molly is so potent. She's so full of the Word and so precise in prayer. And just the encouragement of Pastor Paul and the freedom to allow us to grow into who God has called us to be and releasing us into our giftings. So thank you. I would probably say from this trip that I felt the Lord kind of mark me for ministry. In a good way, he sent me over to show me his heart and to break my heart for the one that no one sees. And so I felt like from this trip that the Lord pretty much just enlarged my heart and he put more of himself there. So I'm really grateful for that and for the opportunity. Thank you.
A few minutes. Go back to the first and see how far we can go. If we don't go very far, it's all right. But don't show, just go straight to me. Okay. So, all right. What I learned from Indonesian ministry, the second time this year. Look at that bus with a boy hanging out there. It's interesting. The way they travel is slightly different. And back of the bus, it says, "Wonderful Indonesia." The boy was dangling all the way for kilometers and kilometers, and we were worried, like, what happens if he falls, you know, would driver get sued? He says, no, it's nobody's fault. He falls, it's his fault. Very interesting. I mean, you know, we saw more than one in some cases. This bus was full, so he had to hang out to get home. But in another case, bus was empty, and the boy was still dangling all the way. Very interesting place. Anyway, we went to Solo, we went to Tulungagung, and then we went to, Bandung, all across that area. Basically, we went up and down all over the place. Next one. So we really have to thank you for your prayer. Next one. Because of the hard work we did, you know, the suffering for Christ, as you can see, you know, in the place. So hard to travel. Very, very difficult, you know, with the tea plant there. Just suffering there under the sun with the pastors, you know, beautiful picture. The next one, as you can see, you know, how much they've been suffering for the Lord. The meal. The next one, are you sick of it yet? You know, that man there, Felix, he used to cook for Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis is, you know, personal chef. So, you know, we really didn't, nobody, who cares about food, right? We don't really want to eat that at all. We didn't plan that at all. We just wanted to minister, but he said, do you have time? Please come back. So we had to cut some things and just to minister to him. We went there, and then he would cook 9-course meals. I mean, it was incredible. Everything was so beautiful. And, we just suffered. I mean, for us, we served the Lord, we wait on the Lord. I mean, in the end, we did pray, and the Lord spoke very prophetically and ministered the couple and all that. So, you know, so thank you. Without your prayers, we couldn't have done it. You know, I couldn't have, I had to manage my weight. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Next one. But seriously, I mean, we were praying. Early morning devotion prayer before the meeting. You can see them. And, you know, Sunday morning, while we were having Sunday here, we were also having the same service. 4 hours difference. We start service at 10 o'clock. They start service on Sunday morning at 6 a.m. So, you know, somebody will come normally to pick us up, you know 30 minutes or, you know, 40 minutes. So before that, we want to do 1 hour devotion and prayer. So what time do we get up? And then we have to get up before that. I have to get up before that to prepare the meeting. So I get up at 3 a.m., prepare the message, you know, and then I feel like, yeah, I've got the message, good, and then, you know, we get together, we pray. So it's like, you know, we
before every meeting, Janie and Molly, so full of, you know, faithfulness. Pastor, do you want to pray? I say, yes, I want to pray again. Pray, and then sometimes they have a morning and evening, and then in the afternoon, yeah, just before they come and pick us up, 1 hour before, you want to meet and pray? If you're tired, it's okay, you can rest, you know, we'll pray. So, no, I do want to pray with you. So, we really come back spiritual. We prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Please, pray, pray. Okay, next one. That's the Tulung Agung, or the book we're given out. That's the King Lee's book in there in the middle. That's a Pastor Samuel. Incredible story. He's born in a Muslim family. He is a son of 9 children. A father is a 1-star general in Indonesia. And while he was praying in the mosque, a light appeared and Jesus came to him with a crown of thorns, blood, you know, coming down, and he said, "What you suffer for me is nothing compared to what I suffer for you." I mean, before he was telling the story, he couldn't tell. He was just keep going like this, and then he couldn't talk for about, I don't know, 30 seconds or more. And then interpreter thought, he forgot the story. He forgot. It was because he couldn't say, because he was overcome with emotion still after 40 years. And the Lord said that if you will follow me, I will use you. And he was just weeping and weeping. After that, for 5 years, he was cut off from the family. He was disowned by the family. And he began to follow the Lord. He was the roommate to Pastor Abednego. They got a lot of funny stories too. Bible colleges. But anyway, he came out and began to serve the Lord. He went to this place, Tulung Agung, which is a very Muslim area at the time he came. And he had one congregant. One. So he would preach and he would bring vegetables for him to eat. So how much vegetables he ate, only the Lord knows. He got so... So he began to pray. He got so, you know, frustrated, or he was desperate. He began to pray and fast for 7 days and pray, "Lord, help!" Because he's got one congregant who is, without fail, bringing vegetables for him to eat. Same vegetables. And then the Lord answered his prayer. I gave him that premise when we were having that meeting there after 30-something years of ministry. Just over 60, got about 40 people, faithful members, and he said, "I'm full of joy." He said, "I'm full of joy. I've got more energy to serve the Lord every day now that, you know, than when I was young." And I'm thinking, he's full of joy. Why shouldn't you? The kind of suffering he went through, he's saying, you know, in the morning he cleans the place and he spends about 4 or 5 hours a day in the Word. Why am I doing the issues to teach me, teaching all of us? And he said his motto in life is that his ethos is hearing the Lord's well done. It's a goal of Pastor Samuel's life. It's the night before. Just, you know, we had a pastor's conference. They're all pastors there, what you see there. They're all pastors in the morning. Just, they're weeping. And he says, "I need no man's approval. I don't never need anyone's praise. That well done is all I want. And that well done will come from only one person, that's Jesus Christ." He says, "I will never save any money for myself. He will all spend it to serve the Lord." Interesting. 9 children, 3 of them serve the Lord. Wonderful. And then there's a peace in that house as well, even though 3 other children are serving the wrong God, the imam, in the tent, you know. But they have peace, and he keeps going on serving the Lord. What's very interesting was an unusual word from Bruce Allen before we went there, and he was just praying for me. And then he said, you know, the Lord will use you by giving you
you know, a word just before you speak. That's what I heard. Come on. Yeah, okay. But I found that, you know, as I told you, 3 a.m. I got up, exactly 3:00. And then I prepared and I got the piece, and usually that's the word to go. Just before, I've got my paper out, everything out, okay, ready to preach. The first one, I just read one, two lines introduction, and then went off track, off track. And then I'm going to come back after this and preach the message. Off track. Okay, we will return to the main message. Never return. So it was a kind of a set the tone. 1.5 hours it was gone, and I never really ended up preaching the message. I got up at 3 a.m. to prepare, my goodness. But the Lord moved. It's very unnerving when the Lord does that. Very, very not pleasant. Because you just don't know. You're stressed. You don't know what the whole time. And even afterwards, you get no satisfaction because you don't know what you said. No satisfaction. Was that okay? Or was I rumbling on, babbling on all the way? And anyway, the Lord gets the glory, the Lord gets the blame. So... only about 30 children from Ambon in orphanage nearby, and they all came for evening rally. That's the evening. And then Molly with the Bible. They were praying and then sharing testimony. Hello, I think saying hello, greetings and prayer. Molly, we have the scriptures. Yeah, the youth were so precious. They have seen, many of them have seen with their eyes, their parents, both sets of parents being murdered in Ambon when there were riots that were taking place. So they, without parents, without open brothers and sisters, they live together in a group and offer a share, about 15. So they came, and then there were some prayer ministry afterwards. And some of the girls were just falling down and rolling and shrieking like a hollowing out, like a wounded animal body touching them in deep, deep places. Boys were less emotional. One boy just stands like that, very stiff, and instead of playing, I just hugged him, gave him a hug, and he's going to break down uncontrollably. The Lord touched them. Yeah, they into the, that's the Stella. Yeah. She was just crying. So there are people like that. But the Lord, I believe the Lord touched them. Molly and Janie were busy, right into action. Prayer, loving up on them one by one. It was beautiful, beautiful evening. Excellent. You were very, very blessed. Afternoon tea, again, suffering for the Lord there. Pastor Abednego and Pastor Leah having a talk. And it was very interesting, just talking to Pastor Abednego. So he's actually, we just chatting, and he says, you know, today, he's just beginning to talk about his Bible college days, how they were trained, because we were about to have food, and how they had, you know, lunch. He said, you get a dry noodle, because there's no warm water, hot water, or cold water. Wait for 1 hour. Still hard, but at least it's a little bit less hard, so he would eat that. And there were some, they were really hungry, there was no food, so he would go and, you know, catch a fish about that big, and then he would use the hot ironing, you know, iron. He would turn it this way, and then cook the fish. Monkeys can pick the oranges and eat, but you are not allowed to eat. Because that's not yours for integrity. I mean, they were training, and he's talking about how they suffer so much. They were so hungry on top of mountain, had to walk 4 kilometers because they didn't have money. Go to the Bible college and walk down and so on. He said that training was precious because most of the people who are trained with him are in ministry, serving the Lord very powerfully. And from that unknown mountaintop Bible college, 94% of the people who graduated there are serving the Lord in ministry very, very effectively.
What about today? He says, less than 50% people don't last. It's because he says there isn't enough foundation of training in character and humility. That's what he says. Character and humility. What he's talking about, his training was that he followed his mentor that he loved. It was evangelist. He went all over Indonesia. For 6 years, he followed without penny. He wasn't getting paid. He only took 2 days break. Every morning, he had to pick up a big speaker and tie it on top of a tree and climb down. And then at night, he would take it down. 6 years. Tie up a speaker on tree. So he would just preach, you know, through the speaker from the tree. And then he went to finally, that convinced him, I want to serve the Lord. 6 years. So it's like a movie, like, you know, Shaolin kind of a martial art kind of movie. He went to a Bible college. I mean, talk about stuffing Bible college. And then he graduated and got, this pastor took him in as an intern. For 1 year, this pastor wouldn't allow him to pray publicly or preach publicly at all. One whole year. Nothing. Except he's giving a job to clean up old lady. I think he's the pastor's mother, grandma, who was getting incontinent. So we'll just mess up. He will go in and then clean her up every time. So that's how he served. He says, some of his friends couldn't take it. They said, I can't take this anymore. No more. Even though we are humble, we can't take it no more. Ran. He stayed on. After the Bible college, his wife was making ice cream and selling for years. I mean, he says that the Lord, I told him, the Lord loves you. He trained you very, very specially. He says he can serve the Lord anyway because he's got the right foundation. He says people today give up so easily, too easily, expect and want too many things. Everything has to be right. He can serve the Lord in the city or anywhere in the country town because he's got the right foundation of what it means to serve the Lord. That's very, very wonderful. So so that was very interesting key conversation. I thought, seems like the Lord is speaking the same thing. All right, next one. Learning. So I've learned a lot. Yeah, that's a Sinai foundation. I have to tell you this story. That lady there, Deborah Iris, okay, that's the pastor, the old pastor in Sinai Foundation. We also gave our book there. That's Arthur, who is also the same Bible college graduate as Pastor Samuel and Pastor Abednego. So three very close friends. And she founded this Sinai Foundation where, orphans or the elderly or mental problem, many, many drug addiction problem, they will come. And that lady, Amber, is a worker there. The whole staff fast 1 day a week to pray for their patients to find healing. And his man, Andreas, when he was in drugs, when he was in high school, he couldn't break free. It was just getting worse and worse and worse. He came to the Sinai Foundation. These people were fasting and praying. Very quickly, he broke that habit. He got healed. So now he's serving there. One of the staff members. Wonderful, isn't it? Mandated to fast once. that Deborah Iris, before the pastor's meeting started, she would just come up and share a short testimony and then to encourage everybody. This is the story, okay? She wakes up in the morning and, she only got 60 cents. To her account, 60 cents Australian dollars. So she sent her only daughter to school. And then she decided, okay, it's time to fast because we were told if you really eat cheap there, you can eat for about 50 cents a meal. So she started fasting and praying. Somebody comes up and asks for her to pray for her on that day. So she started laying hands and really, really pray for her. And then this lady pulled out a large envelope. And then inside the envelope is equivalent to 580 Aussie dollars. Now, in the country town, 1 month minimum wage is 160 Aussie dollars. So she said, oh, no, I didn't pay for you for that money. No, I can't take it. But the lady insists, $580. How would you feel? I mean, that's a lot of money. So she takes it. And then she said, this is a test. So she's praying, God, what do you want me to do with this money? And then God tells her, put it into a number of envelopes and divide it up. So she does that. She carries it with her. She comes to one of these pastor's conference. I don't know whether it was the same thing or something else. And God points her two of the pastors. Give one envelope to him, one envelope to him. And then one of the pastors crying, how did you know? I only had 70 cents left. I didn't know what to do. So she's so overcome with joy. I heard God's voice and I obeyed. So she was encouraging us. She did this just before I come up and speak. Very bad. Terrible. I don't know what I said. I really literally don't know. I just got up and again, just, you know, the Lord took over. I don't know what I said, when to finish. When the floor finished, I stopped and I come up, and this is even worse. Afterwards, she comes up and says, you know, thank you so much for your message. Thank you. She really thanks me, and I'm dying inside. Because it's so, I don't know. Have you ever felt like, you know, and towards the end, she says this again, and I felt like, lady, you don't know. You are so, I feel like, I really don't know why I'm here. And she said, you know, she said it through the interpreter, your heart is so pure, like clear water. I feel like running because this is what I felt. I didn't say it to her. You know, I ran. Because I know if I were to receive $580, that would be the end of my testimony. I'm pretty sure. You know, I'll get up and go, Lord, give me $580. Praise the Lord. And the testimony will end there. So she will ask the Lord, and he just continued on. And she's telling me, you got a pure heart. I go, what? Dear Lord, you got, that's a rebuke. Anyway. No, I was blessed, but gives you a lot of things to think about. Very, very humbling. Anyway, next, I think we're gonna. Should I get one more? Yeah, one more. Okay, that's Stella's foundation. So that's school. That's the kitchen. That's the lady. One of the lady from the street. Government picks them up and then gives to her. You know, that foundation. She's holding a coin. Says, I want to buy a Coke. I've got money. So I said, wow, that's wonderful. You can buy a Coke. Says, but that's not enough. So she's got a big smile. That's where they sleep. And they're the street people. Basically, they pick them up and then house them. Once government picks them up and gives them, there is no support. So that's why they're running a lot of business, bakeries and restaurants and on to support work like that. Because I think out of the elderly people's thing, I think only one third could pay. The other two thirds can't pay. But you can't, once you take them in, you can't kick them out, they'll just die. So the law provides and they continue to do that good work. Next one. Hoyo Lali, that was interesting. That was that's a pastor's conference again. In the morning, that's one of the rare mornings. In the morning, Molly and Jamie were praying together. And I could tell you, in the morning, suddenly, during their prayer, a clock of light came on me. And it's just like the Lord just somebody just put it on me suddenly. It's a light, like a blanket. And I knew I had suddenly, because I've done not knowing kind of a mode, don't know, and the confidence is very low. Suddenly, I felt power, clarity, confidence. It's like buzzing, whole body is buzzing. And I knew we're going to have a fantastic meeting. Even though I don't know exactly what I'm going to say, I just have confidence in my sort of clarity. So we get there, we walk in, we all agree. The glory of God and the presence of God is just there. And just we flew in one thing. And Janie and Molly praying. At the end, Janie had a prophetic word. And weeping and praying for the pastors. And I believe pastors were really, really repentant. It was very, very powerful. Yeah, presence of God. That's all I can say. Talk of light. So I told Mia, talk of light just came on me. What happened? I don't know, but it's got to be very powerful. And the Lord just used us, lonely praying. Was there testimony there? No, mountain was the first testimony. But boy, the prayer was so prophetic and wonderful. And then afterwards, we prayed for the pastor of that church who had a stroke 3 months ago. While we were praying, the Lord was ministering prophetically to the whole family. So it was again wonderful. So many tears, the whole family. And hope. Maybe one more slide and then we're done. Oh, yeah, that's a mountain church. Look at the kitchen. That's a high-tech, modern kitchen. That's where you put your wood and then the fire comes up. And that's the door. Very beautiful. Very interesting. You know, the last time I was there, the Lord put it on me, I've got to bring some Derek Prince teaching books there. And long story short, Alex Genovese from CPM called me up and said, why don't you get together for coffee? So we get together, and I didn't say this. And he said, why don't you take our books there for free and then hand over to as many pastors as you need. Okay, thank you. That's exactly what I thought. So we take the books, give it to the pastors. They're very happy. Pastor Ben Bang said, oh, Derek Prince. He said, I wanted to study Derek Prince's book. I wanted to study these books. I wanted pastors to be equipped with this. So, there you go, the voice of the Lord. Nothing's preached, it's not man's plan. Lord did it all. And there the next one. Pastor Ben Bang on fire afterwards. He's preaching, recording some of it. I mean, he's preaching another sermon. Lots of police and army men came up for some reason. There's a lot of army people, the translator. They're very happy with the book. And Jane gave a first full-blown testimony there. And that just broke open the meeting. So it was a wonderful, wonderful time. And the translator, pastor, said, I believe the seeds that you guys have sown here in the mountain will have a lasting lots of so many pastors. So that was so wonderful. On the way out, it was very interesting. I told you, it's very steep, right? And we were wondering, do we need four-wheel drive or not? I said, nah, let's save the money, no four-wheel drive. Guess what? On the way out, it began to rain. We got stuck there. The car was sliding. Couldn't go up. So Molly was praying in tongues from behind, very loud. We got stuck, and if we don't go back, we have to sleep in the church floor, right? We don't want to do that. We are really tired. I mean, really, really tired. I want to go to at least have some hours of sleep because we got meeting next day and so on. So we are praying. That car couldn't go up, went back, backed up, and then the guy is there, they risked their lives to get us out. But, they were asking, is your flight booked tomorrow? I would say no, but I don't know. The driver or whoever, whatever they said, they actually risked their life. They would pull a rope in front of our car, and five or six cars would run in front of the car. And they're pushing, and a couple of people almost slipped, and their car was taking off. And then they had to run to the side, and then we were literally, for the first time, only time I pray, where car was going sideways. Have you been to the car like that? Which way are we going? We didn't quite go back, but like almost 90 degrees. But by miracle, we came back, and from Molly is going, driver is not Christian. Hey, just, wow. Thank you, Molly. You came only for that reason. We made it. And there was one more. I mean, again, we were going sideways. And again, I can hear Molly from behind. In Jesus. So we made it. Came home. Had a good rest. But I've never experienced in a car, sitting at the front, you can hear the engine revving up. You're actually going sideways. Oh my God, it's so scary. But God kept us safe. Hallelujah. Yeah, we didn't need four-wheel drive. Praise God. Presence of God. What do we need? Hey, we all do. Hallelujah. Amen. So thank you. I think I'm going to just end it. There's so much more. You know, we learn a lot when we go there. I feel like we learn so much. And we just really enjoy Molly and Jamie. I didn't put any words into your mouth to say nice things about me, right? Scary. But, you know, they're just hope. Thank you for the families who will leave them. And, a trip like that, we grow in love for one another. We are a family. When you go out there, you find God has a big family. I mean, you do risk your life. In Australia, I can't imagine, you know, and pulling the car. They didn't have to do it. But they will do it. There's so much love out there. Let's do our job, man. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we sing? You should sing, yeah? We just learn how blessed we are. But in some way, are we really blessed? Because you know that the Sinai Foundation, I told them this. We got more money. I think you got more kingdom. Hey, the kingdom of God is among us and in us as well. And it's a very humbling place in Australia whereby, not because we are better, but in some God's provision that God will put Australian churches by virtue of economy to go there and bless them. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we got so much more to learn from them. But what are we? We had four pastors conferences around Indonesia. What are we? Why are we, is God doing this? And it's so that we learn, both of us, it's very humbling experience. And that's the kingdom of God, where we honor one another, receive one another, learn from each other. Hallelujah. And give in a way that we can. So thank you for your giving. So thank you for your prayer. That's one end. And the next time, you know, maybe some of you will go. When we sing Hosanna, Hosanna.
Father God, we just want to thank you for all your goodness towards your children, towards our children. Lord, I just want to release your blessing, that you bless GI, every single member, from young to old. Lord, we pray that you would use them, you would equip each one of us to walk in holiness, in the fear of God. and make our calling sure, Lord Father God, that we will walk in a kingly priesthood. In Jesus' name, Lord. And we ask for the revelations of God and wisdom of God to empower each one of us as we grow, Lord Father, in your love, and that our understanding be established in your words, that we can be firmly rooted in your word and grounded in your words, Lord Father, and release that light. Father, I pray that you bless this building, for we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We ask that the cornerstone of Jesus Christ will be built, Lord. We will be built around the cornerstone, Lord Father, that every the foundation will be made strong and deeply rooted in the name and glory of Jesus Christ. Father, we want to bless you, Lord Father. We thank you for your goodness, and we release your blessing upon G.I. right now. And henceforth, from this moment on, this church will walk. Will be obedient to your guidance, to the unction of the Holy Spirit. We'll step up to his destiny, Lord Father, step by step, and let your glory be empower us, Lord, and reveal your plan to us. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.
Okay, the Lord bless you. Tea and coffee, hang around, let's catch up and talk. And okay.